the book of Proverbs, chapter 1. Accidentally dropped all of my papers, and that would be no good. And so Proverbs, chapter 1, can I get an amen and a hallelujah? Proverbs, chapter 1, we're starting a new series this morning. And today's message is called, turn to your neighbor and say, be wise in God's eyes. Whew, that's going to be good. Proverbs chapter 1. We're starting a new series called A Summer in Proverbs. If you don't know, Proverbs is one of the wisdom literatures. And this is not going to be, we just got finished with our study of Ruth, From Ruins to Redemption. This is not that. We're not going to read every single proverb because there's 31 chapters. This will be different speakers that we will have within our community that will come and share their proverb, their favorite proverb, what God has spoken to. Going to be little clips. And what we want you to do, how many people are into social media? Anybody does social media? Facebook, Instagram, nobody? Just me? If you do those, I see somebody smiling. Here's what we need you to do. Just all the young people. Okay. And if you're old and you do social media, hallelujah. Don't do too much of it. Anyway, so we need you to hashtag Summer of Proverbs and HCC. And so that we have like these gifts that we'll give away. And what a hashtag does is it helps you to see everybody that's posted. So if you're like in church this Sunday and afterwards you want to go take a picture by the chalkboard and you post yourself Summer Proverbs HCC, we want to see, we want to show people what God is doing here at Hope Community and what you guys look like. So just hashtag us and we'll get started with that. So anybody in Proverbs chapter 1, amen, y'all are there, amen. How many, if you Google, I don't know if I do Google all the time. I use Google every day because I don't know a lot. And so when I Googled the wisest person in the entire world, you might think of like Elon Musk. You might think of like a billionaire. I don't know who the newest billionaire is, the person that just made it. I think LeBron James just made it to the billionaires list. But the Google, the most famous person in the world, and his name would be King Solomon. Somebody say King Solomon. Now that's interesting because in 2022, the promise of God that God gave over King Solomon's life is still true today, because if I Google search the wisest person, it goes all the way back into the Bible times. His name was King Solomon. Now, he's an interesting man. He is the son of King David. Then we talked about Ruth, and she had a son who had a son who had David, and David had a son, and his name actually with his wife Bathsheba, which is a whole nother story. His name was King Solomon. Now, King Solomon is, first of all, and at the beginning of his life, he has positive things written about him. It says that's the account of all these kings. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statues of David and his father. So he's a good man. He's an honorable man in the beginning. And one night the Lord appeared to Solomon and said, "What shall I give you?" Now the Lord that's interesting. The Lord comes down and visits Solomon and he says, "Whatever you want." And I don't know, you ever had one of those, do you remember that Aladdin type stories where you get three wishes and no more? And so we see that the Lord asked Solomon, "What is it that you want?" And in response, Solomon answered, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil." And so Solomon asked in the scriptures for wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. Now God grants Solomon's request. God will always grant a request for wisdom. In James chapter 1, it says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives abundantly. So I always tell my kids, if they're not acting wise in a certain situation, did you ask God about that? Because if you would have asked the Lord to give you wisdom, the Bible says he will give it to you abundantly. And I need some wisdom. I don't know about you, but I make choices all the time. I need someone to help me. And so Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom, and God grants it to him. In fact, we have it on the screen before we get into Proverbs. 1 Kings chapter 4, this is the kind of wisdom that the Lord gives. It says, "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding beyond measure. The breath of mind was like the sands on the seashore." That's incredible wisdom. Anybody been to the beach this summer? You can see a picture of the beach this summer. It makes you sort of long for the beach. It says, "So much so that the grains of sand were as much as Solomon's wisdom." It says it surpassed the wisdom of all the people of the East and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all other men. He was, and then God just goes and says, here's some men he was wiser than. He was wiser than Ethan the Ezrahite, the Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahal. And his fame was in all the surrounding nations. He spoke over 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees. I love that. I have a cousin who knows everything about trees. I love it because my fruit trees look better whenever I'm talking to him. He spoke of the color that is cedar from Lebanon to the hyssop that grows out of the walls. He spoke about the beast and the bird. So obviously, he was like a zoologist, a biologist, every kind of ologist. That's who Solomon was. He said he knew of every reptile and every fish, and people of all nations came to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and from all the kings of the earth who had heard his wisdom. And so we see he writes a book. Now, if the smartest man in the world writes a book, wouldn't you want to read it? Let me ask like, if the smartest man in the entire world wrote a book, would you want to read it? My heart would be that you would say, yes, I would. I would want to read the book, because if this guy knows everything about everything, I want to know that kind of wisdom. I don't want to live like a fool. Can I get an amen? That you know some people that live like a fool. Don't look at them. Just straight ahead. Just look at me. Don't. If it's the people on the side of you, don't point. I do that a lot. I just point while we're following the. This is for you today. And so this book that Solomon, the wisest man in the world, writes, most of Proverbs is written by him. It's an opportunity to read one of the books by the wisest man in the world. A proverb is a short, clever saying that offers some type of wisdom. And I thought today, we do this. We're reading the Bible together at Hope Community Church. We are going to approach Psalms tomorrow, Psalms 1. And before every time that we open up a new book together, and if you want to do that with us, join us, please. Tomorrow we start Psalms chapter 1. They have a video. I love these videos so much that I said, you know what? Let's look at this video today so that we have proper understanding of the book of Proverbs. So this is called the Bible Project video on Proverbs. So here we go. They're going to dim down the lights, and we're going to have you look at that for just a moment. Proverbs chapter 1. If you're there, shout hallelujah, amen. Proverbs 1:1. We're going to start with a general understanding of what is wisdom. And so Proverbs chapter 1, King Solomon writes, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing." And then he talks about three things. He talks about righteousness, which is living correctly, is wisdom. Justice, and not a lot of churches talk about this anymore, but when you see the Old Testament, it's full of this idea. Not only are we to live correctly, but we're to live justly, that we are busy as believers making things right. So if you see something wrong, for example, if you see a student being bullied at a school and you're a teacher, the Bible would say wisdom would tell us not just to live in correctly our way, but also to make that thing right so that that student is not getting bullied anymore. There's a justice about wisdom, and there's an equity for all. That means that we are to live underneath this idea. It says in verse 4 to give prudence to the system, to the simple. So wisdom is not just for the educated. It's not just for someone that goes to Harvard. Can I get an amen? It's not someone that went and got an 8-year degree. It could be for anybody in any situation. In fact, we are to learn wisdom from the book of people that have gone on before us. I love that. I love listening to the older generation because I'm just 45, and then I talk to someone that's 80. They've been through more things, and they have the wisdom and the understanding. I don't understand this culture of like we're putting away the elderly. That floors me because that's the people that I should be sitting underneath. It's to give prudence to the simple. Wisdom is not built on a system. Knowledge and discretion. Even young people can have wisdom. Can I get an amen? There's a group that would say, even though I'm young, even though I'm in my teens, that I too can have wisdom. Why make all the mistakes that we made? Don't make our mistakes. Go and live honestly for Jesus. In verse 5, it says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning." So wisdom is an increase. You don't get to, I'm already there. I turned 30. Now I'm wise. It says that we're always increasing in wisdom. It says, "And the one who understands obtained guidance." You're always asking for guidance. That's wisdom. I remember before we got married, my husband and I, and though I thought that the Lord had spoke a word into my heart, I went to my parents and I said, "I need you to fast and pray with me for 3 days because this is a life-changing decision." I always ask for guidance, probably to a fault. When we opened up this church, I remember going to our pastor and sitting at his office and saying, I don't want to make a stupid decision. I don't want to make a foolish decision off of my emotions in the moment. Whenever we adopted 4 kids from the Philippines, I remember sitting down with different people saying, "What do you think?" They thought we were crazy, but they said, "It's probably God. Go ahead and do it." And so, you know, there's a wisdom that comes from the guidance of other people. If you're always just making decisions by yourself and you never, and I'm not talking go to the other foolish person who will give you the same foolish answer. I'm talking about going to someone that you respect, that is godly, that has been through some things, and you sit underneath them and you ask them a question. What do you think about this? Can you pray for me about this? Can you fast for me about this? That, my friend, is wisdom. In verse 6, it says to understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and the riddles. And here's where we're going to park it this morning. In verse 7, it says the fear. Somebody say the fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Can I read it again? It says, the fear of the Lord. And we get concerned because the fear of the Lord is not something that we use. We don't talk about the fear, but it's foundational to our wisdom. If we're going to build our life on wisdom block after block, we have to have a healthy fear of the Lord. Now, for example, I feared my parents when I was a teenager. I knew better than to do some things in my life because my parents had a healthy fear of them. I didn't like, you know, tremble every time I was around them, but I knew if I made a mistake or if I did a certain thing or if I came home after curfew, there was a consequence to the curfew that I broke. There was a person that would be praying for me while I was dating yet another guy who did not love the Lord. So there was a fear that I had, but it was healthy. Let me tell you what fear is. Fear is three things in this situation. It can be a terror, just a natural terror. You ever saw the angels come down? Like the angel comes down and talks to Mary, and what happens? They're fear. They're scared. The power of a holy God. I was listening to Jackie Hale Perry the other day, and she said, man, when y'all call down fire from heaven, you realize that's judgment. That's a healthy idea that one day you will stand before God. Can I say that again? That one day you will stand before the Lord. Not me and you. You will stand before the Lord. I will stand. That's a healthy fear. Just to have that in the back of my head before I go off on my children yet one more time because it's summer. I have a healthy fear of the Lord. God, I have a respect is number two. So you have a fear, but it's also a respect. Do you ever respect someone? You have a healthy respect. I respect them. I listen to what they say. So fear of the Lord is like sometimes it's a terror, but sometimes it's a respect, and a lot of times it's just a reverence and an awe that you have for God. How does the Lord's Prayer start? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know what that means? We have a reverence and an awe for the God that we serve. When I walk into the building and it's time for church, I'm ready. I have a healthy honor for the Lord. Our janitor, she serves here. She comes in the mornings, and anytime she's in the sanctuary, she's just like super quiet. And yesterday she was fussing my kids because my kids are never super quiet anywhere. And so they were running around the sanctuary this week, and she's like, "But don't you have a respect for the house of God?" And she would ask, "Get them," and I was just like, "Get them." And so she had such a respect for the Lord, that this was the Lord's house, and that he was to be honored, and he was to be respected. It says in 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning. So it's sort of a combination of all three. So we have a definition. What is the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord can be defined as a continual awareness. Somebody say continuous. That our loving, now this is good because he doesn't hate you. He doesn't wait to strike hell, you know, hell down on you or lightning bolts down on you. It says the continual awareness that our loving Heavenly Father is watching and evaluating everything that we think, whoo, everything that we say, whoo, and everything that we do. That's the fear of the Lord. If you start living through that filter, that the God that I serve, he's loving me, he's my heavenly Father, but he is watching me also and evaluating me, and I need to fear the Lord. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and so we have to have a continual awareness of him, a reverence for him, and a commitment to obey him because we want to be his. A wise person fears the Lord. But what does it say at the end of verse 7? It says, a foolish person does what? Despises wisdom and instruction. So you can listen to these words this morning and say, I'm going to walk out the door and do whatever in the world I want to do. And that way the Bible would say that you are a, I didn't say it, you said it. And so here it is. And you know people like this that will hear the word of God and go out and do their very own thing that they wanted to do anyhow. And the Lord says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, a healthy respect, a reverence for him. And it says, if not, it's like you're a fool. A fool despises instruction and cannot be told what to do. You know somebody like that? They're on the job. And you tell them 1,000 times, this is how you do it. And 1,000 times, they'll look at you like you're stupid. You got that? And they'll just look at you and give you the stink eye. You know what a stink eye is? And you're sitting there and you're like, really? And so that it says that we don't like the instructions that are given to us. Or you tell your kids 1 too many times how to do something. And it says that that's not wisdom. But the Bible says if you want wisdom, you can ask of God, who gives to all liberty, liberally, without reproach. So the fear of the Lord, the fool has no foundation to build wisdom. And without the fear of the Lord, we can gain knowledge. You know someone like that? Very, very smart. but sort of foolish on the slick. Somebody who has all of the knowledge in the world, but yet does not live with the fear of God. I think a culture right now is doing that, where they're taking on this worldview that doesn't have the fear of the Lord as the center. And so with the fear of the Lord, we have a view that honors God. Now, for example, I have some sunglasses. These are cute, right? And so I was thinking, whenever I get up in the morning, even this morning, I lost my glasses from last night, and I can't find them for the world. I cannot see you. You look like blurry beings. And so when I wake up this morning, it's like, Tay, can you find my glasses? They're in the bed. Just shake out the sheets, and boom, they fall on the floor. And so here I am. And, you know, we have different views in our lives. For example, they talked in the video about Job, the three wisdom books. We've just read Job, and then we've also have Ecclesiastes. Job had a healthy fear of the Lord when everything was going right. That's easy to fear the Lord and to have a respect for him and do the right thing when God is doing what you feel like is the right thing for you. But let the world go bad. Let someone unexpectedly pass away. Let your job, you lose your job. You have these things. I remember one day in our lives, Ted lost his job. A car went through our building at our old center. There were three things. We lost our adoption agent. And at the end of the day, I'm like, God, seriously, is this my life? And that view that you take on is not a fear of the Lord, but it's sort of a foolish view. Like somehow you know better than God. And I'm going to tell you right now, this worldview is not a good view. And I think a lot of people, what they do is they put on this view like Job and his three friends. And they say, well, clearly we know and God doesn't know. And the whole book of Job, in this wisdom book, they're saying, this is the view that I have. At the end of the last chapters of Job, God comes back in and says, but you don't have a fear of the Lord. And that I was here before you were ever here. And that I caused everything to be. And you're really just breathing just a little bit for a little bit of time. A healthy fear of the Lord reminds us. In Ecclesiastes, King Solomon writes, he's the richest. He has everything going for him. But at the end of his life, he's like, nothing really worked. And so we have this kind of worldview that if I have everything, if I have a nice house, a nice car, if I have all the things that I've ever wanted, and we try to live through this view of life. And so everything that we do is to get more things. That everything we do is to have more status, more popularity. And yet this is an unhealthy worldview that we're looking through. I can tell you because it's all purple for me right now. So Job got it wrong. King Solomon gets it wrong. Our cultural view right now in 2022 might seem like that's the way that I want to look through the world. I want to look through that worldview, but let me tell you, culture changes. Whatever the thing is today will not be the thing tomorrow, will not be the thing. And yet we put on this view of the world because what culture tells me is correct. And yet that's an unhealthy view. Maybe you have what popular opinion says. I don't know what popular opinion is saying right now, but as you can see, I'm getting a little bit worse at putting these on. And whatever the popular thing is to do, whatever everybody else is, if everybody else is getting divorced, well, I'm getting a divorce because that's popular. If I fall out of love, I'm going to do what's popular. And so we put on this worldview that says, this is the thing that I want to do. And maybe you're surrounded by opinions. Maybe that's your, whatever people think. If you told me my shoes don't look good, I'm going to go get a new pair of shoes. If you told me my hair is not right, I'm going to get my hair dyed tonight. And you have this view of what anybody else says around you, that's what you're going to do. Your neighbor buys a boat, hallelujah, you're buying a boat. And so, and all the men said amen, especially mine. And I said, no way, Jose. And so that's not wisdom. It's not wisdom. And so here you are, and you're going through the popular opinions, and that's your worldview. Or you're going through what people around us are saying, and that's your view. And you have a culture review. This is what culture says. Or you're like Job and you're saying, but this doesn't make sense, God. And so you put on that view of I am more better. I have a better understanding than what God does for my life. And any view that is not surrounded by the fear of God is the incorrect view. And today what we need to do is we need to take off these glasses. Because culture doesn't save me. Ideology doesn't save me. Popular opinion will not get me before the throne room of God. It will, but it'll get me in a bad place. People around me don't have my best interests. So what I do, I need to instead say, God, today, the view that I am going to have in my life so that I can be wise, oh, I can see you again, is this. Proverbs 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Can you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? We're going to just throw off the lights today. This summer in our youth group, I do the youth here, and we're trying to develop healthy habits all summer long. So we're like reading the Bible. We're going to church. We're faithful.